Welcome to the Kingdom Reformation Podcast with Glenn Blakeney. Here, the fire of revival ignites hearts and fuels a supernatural move of God throughout the nations of the earth. Join us each week for prophetic insights, apostolic teaching, and powerful conversations that will equip you to live fully awakened in your kingdom purpose. This is more than a podcast. It's a movement. Learn more about us by visiting kingdomreformation.org. Now, let's dive into today's episode.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Okay, let's unpack this. Today, we're plunging into a really thought-provoking exploration of the modern church. We're grappling with this powerful tension. You know, the source material highlights it brilliantly. The stark reality of perilous times, and yet this incredible promise of glory rising in the last days. It's quite a paradox and one that, well, it really demands our attention. Our deep dive today centers on an article by Glenn Blakeney, Apostolic Reformation, From Maintenance to Multiplication. You can find it over on the Kingdom Reformation Community website. And our mission here is simple. Pull out the key insights from this, well, pretty challenging perspective. We want to examine why such a radical shift from what you might call traditional church models to an apostolic approach is being called for so urgently right now. And just so you know, this deep dive is brought to you by Awake Nations with Glenn Blakeney. We'll share a bit more later on how you can connect with their work and resources. Visit awakenations.org for more.
Indeed. And the article, it really sets the stage dramatically. It doesn't pull any punches. Using some very vivid biblical imagery right from the start, it kicks off with Paul's warning to Timothy, you know, in 2 Timothy 3. That picture of perilous times.
Yeah, that list is intense.
It really is. People being lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient, unthankful, unholy.
Unloving, unforgiving.
Slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God.
Oh.
Having this form of godliness, but actually denying its power.
Yeah.
I mean, you read that. And doesn't it just sound like today's headlines? It feels incredibly current.
It really does, almost uncomfortably so.
But what's fascinating, and this is key, is how the article immediately pivots. It counters this really bleak picture with Isaiah 60.
Ah, the arise, shine passage.
Exactly. Introducing this concept of glory rising precisely amidst this profound darkness. Isaiah talks about darkness in Hebrew, like ashek, which is like this suffocating, oppressive gloom. You know, it chokes things out. And then, even heavier, deep darkness raw. That's described as this lowering storm cloud, just pressing down on the nations.
Okay.
So the article poses this crucial question. In an hour like that, with such intense spiritual darkness, what kind of church can possibly not just survive, but actually shine?
And the implication is?
The implication is strong.
Yeah.
A simple maintenance model, just keeping the lights on, it just won't cut it. Something more is needed, something more dynamic.
And this is where it gets really interesting, isn't it? Where the article starts to kind of turn our usual understanding of church on its head. It launches this powerful critique of what it calls the prevailing pastoral model, describing it as often centered around, well, buildings, programs, maybe even personalities.
That's precisely the argument. This model, maybe it worked in another time, but the article suggests it's now fundamentally outdated. It's insufficient for the times we're actually living in. The core problem, as it's laid out, is that this pastoral model is seen as just, not able to carry the weight of what the article calls a kingdom assignment for these crucial end times.
A kingdom assignment, okay.
It points straight to Ephesians 2.20, the church built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone.
That's the biblical blueprint.
Right. And the article implies that much of what we call church today has drifted quite far from that. Instead of that dynamic foundation, it often looks more like, well, a weekly meeting.
Sunday service kind of thing.
Exactly. A distinct clergy-laity structure, which can sometimes limit participation. And this cycle of programs that, let's be honest, often struggle to produce truly equipped, engaged disciples.
So it's a shift from an active foundation to maybe more passive, programmatic approach.
That's a good way to put it, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so let's make that contrast really clear. The article outlines this pastoral paradigm. It's about bringing people into a building, growing by adding more services maybe, keeping programs running smoothly, and a lot of the ministry work falls to the paid staff. It sounds very internal.
Very internally focused, yes.
Yeah.
Managing its own affairs. But then the apostolic paradigm, as the article presents it, completely flips that. It turns it inside out.
How so?
Well, instead of the sanctuary being the main focus, it says the city should be the measure of influence. The whole community.
Wow, okay.
Big difference.
Huge. And there's this massive emphasis on equipping and activating all the saints, every believer, for the works of ministry. That's Ephesians 4.12 again, right? Equipping the saints for service.
Right. Not just the leaders?
Not just the leaders. It means leaders actually spend more time discipling and mentoring other leaders to carry the vision rather than just managing programs. And crucially, it's about releasing the whole body of Christ for kingdom impact in every sphere. Government, arts, business, education, everywhere. It's a shift from inward focus to outward engagement.
Totally. World engaging.
Okay, so that's a powerful distinction. One model creates spectators, maybe well-meaning ones, while the other aims to raise up a fully equipped, mobilized body ready to engage the world.
That's the core difference presented.
But thinking practically, for a church that's maybe operated in that pastoral model for years, decades even, what are the challenges? The article must imply some difficulties in making such a radical shift.
Oh, absolutely.
Well,
it's not painted as an easy path at all. It implies challenging comfort zones, definitely.
Yeah.
Traditional structures, established ways of doing things, even power dynamics.
Releasing control.
Exactly. Leaders have to empower others in perhaps new ways. And the congregation, the saints, need to step into roles they might never have imagined. There's a cost, psychologically and structurally.
Makes sense.
But the article insists this shift is vital and connects it directly to Jesus' words in Matthew 24.13, where he talks about the gospel of the kingdom being preached in all the world.
Not just the gospel of salvation.
Right. That distinction is key. The article calls this apostolic language, foundational stuff.
Okay, let's dig into that distinction a bit. Gospel of the kingdom versus gospel of salvation. What's the nuance there, according to the article?
Sure. So the gospel of salvation, we often focus, and rightly so, on individual redemption, forgiveness, eternal life through Christ. It's personal. It's crucial.
Absolutely.
But the gospel of the kingdom, as the article frames it, is broader, more expansive. It's about God's sovereign rule breaking into all areas of life here on earth.
Transforming societies, cultures.
Yes. Systems. Bringing heaven's influence into government, justice, economics, community life. Not just saving souls out of the world, but transforming the world itself, that wider scope, that comprehensive impact. That's what the article terms apostolic language.
Got it. And central to that kingdom mandate is this idea of a breaker anointing associated with apostles.
Mm.
The article explains it's not just a title, it's like a spiritual empowerment.
Exactly. A tangible enablement. It allows them to confront deep-seated darkness, uproot spiritual strongholds that hold communities back.
Pioneer new territory.
Pioneer new ground for the gospel, yes. Father spiritual sons and daughters, appoint leaders, establish divine order where there's chaos. It's a very active, frontline, almost frontier-pushing kind of role.
It definitely sounds like it.
And the article argues that in these times, with nations being shaken, the church just can't afford to stay in a maintenance mentality.
It needs to shift gears.
Radically. It calls for apostolic centers. Envisioned is much more than just traditional churches. They're seen as dynamic hubs.
Hubs for what specifically?
For discipling, training, sending, and resourcing the saints. Equipping them not just for Sunday, but for harvest and transformation out there in the world.
Okay.
Which raises a big question for all of us, really. In this increasingly chaotic world, how does the church move beyond just, you know, preserving itself inside its walls?
And instead, advance boldly.
Yes, advance boldly into the darkness, bringing real kingdom light and influence.
And that advancement, it sounds like it must involve the supernatural. The article emphasizes this, right? Referencing 2 Corinthians 12.
It does. The signs of an apostle. Signs, wonders, mighty deeds.
And Acts 5, the apostles doing signs and wonders publicly.
That's right. In Solomon's porch, impacting the whole community. It wasn't hidden away. And the source gives powerful examples. Paul in Ephesus, Acts 19. God working unusual miracles through him.
The handkerchiefs and aprons.
Yeah. Healing the sick, casting out evil spirits. And the result wasn't just individual miracles. It was a citywide breakthrough.
Sorcery renounced, books burned.
Exactly. Yeah. And the outcome, the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. That's the connection. Great darkness often requires a demonstration of great power to break through. The supernatural validates the message.
And it brings this into the present day with that story from Jamaica.
It does. A powerful anecdote. A place facing heavy oppression, poverty, violence, witchcraft. Real darkness. And when the gospel of the kingdom was preached with what the article calls apostolic boldness, Signs, wonders, healing, deliverance followed. Tangible community transformation.
So the same power that worked in Ephesus
worked in modern Jamaica. The article's point is, this isn't just ancient history. It's a current necessity.
Why critical today?
Because, the article argues, signs and wonders scatter the darkness. They validate the kingdom message to a skeptical world. And importantly, they open the door for real discipleship and lasting transformation. It's about breakthrough.
Okay, moving on to these apostolic hubs again. The article points to biblical examples.
Yes, think of Antioch in Acts 13. It wasn't just a local church. It was a strategic base sending out missionaries, Paul and Barnabas.
Right, into unreached areas.
Or Ephesus, Acts 19 again. Discipleship happening daily, impacting the whole province of Asia.
And Thessalonica, turning the world upside down.
Acts 17. Exactly. These weren't just congregations. They were dynamic centers of multiplication, impacting entire regions.
Multiplication seems key here.
It is. The article details this divine progression of growth in Acts. It shows a clear path from simple addition to something much bigger.
How does that progression look?
It starts with Acts 2. The Lord added daily. Then Acts 5. Believers were increasingly added, multitudes. Then Acts 6, the number of disciples multiplied greatly, and finally Acts 9, then the churches were multiplied.
Added, multiplied, multiplied churches. Okay, I see the progression.
It's a qualitative shift, demonstrating this spiritual dynamism where influence just expands exponentially.
So the goal of this apostolic increase, it isn't just about getting a bigger audience or filling seats.
No, not primarily. It's far more ambitious, according to the article.
It's about raising an army.
Raising an army, yes. Filling cities and regions with disciples. Moving way beyond simple addition to true, self-replicating multiplication. Spiritual conquest, not just gathering people.
That's a big vision.
It is. And right at the heart of it all is this reframing of the Great Commission, Matthew 28.
Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations.
Exactly. The article clarifies. The core command is make disciples, not just make churches or get members.
Okay.
The argument is, when you focus on making true, equipped disciples, the church naturally emerges as this living, dynamic body.
Hmm.
But if you only focus on building the institution or attracting attendees,
yeah,
you might miss the core mandate. Genuine discipleship isn't guaranteed.
Precisely. It shifts the focus from building institutions to building people.
And if you're building people, you measure success differently.
Absolutely.
The article lists some true measures, right? Beyond just numbers, it asks questions like, are saints actually being equipped to conform to Christ's image? Like Luke 6.4 or Romans 8.29 suggest. Are they walking as he walked? That's 1 John 2.6. Are they doing his works? John 14.9. And are they obeying his commands? Matthew 28 again.
Those are the real metrics, yes. The tangible fruit.
That's challenging.
It is. And the article stresses this Great Commission, it's not just for the leaders. It's for every single believer.
Everyone. Jesus's strategy, as presented, was always multiplication. Designed to reach the world quickly, effectively.
How does that strategy break down?
It's like a four-step progression.
Mm-hmm.
First, every person must believe. Then, every believer must become an active disciple. Then, every disciple makes other disciples. And finally, some mature to multiply, raising up other disciple makers. Like Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 2.2.
Believe, become a disciple, make disciples, multiply disciple makers.
Wow.
It's exponential.
The article contrasts that with linear growth.
Vividly. Linear growth might reach thousands over decades, but true multiplication disciples, making disciples, the article suggests it has the potential to reach the entire world in a single generation.
That's staggering. And it brings a direct challenge, doesn't it, to you listening right now. Who are you personally discipling? Who are you intentionally raising up to then go and disciple others? To start that chain reaction, it really makes you think about your own responsibility. It's meant to. And embracing this kind of apostolic ministry, the article says, requires some radical shifts, often uncomfortable ones.
Like what?
Moving from come to church to go into all the world, shifting from being program focused to having a real tangible presence in the world.
Redefining success.
Redefining success away from just attendance numbers to how many nations or communities are being reached and transformed. And changing structures from boards managing pastors to apostolic teams equipping all the saints for ministry.
These aren't small tweaks.
No, they're foundational realignments.
And the article acknowledges this kind of change, this reformation, it won't be easy. It'll face resistance.
Definitely. It acknowledges resistance, even opposition, but it also promises something profound. Glory.
Glory amidst the darkness.
It circles back to Isaiah's vision. suffocating darkness, lowering skies, but countered by glory rising. It's a vision of intense hope.
But where does that glory actually come from? How does it manifest, according to the article?
Well, that's really the climax. The article concludes that apostolic ministry, functioning as described, is the release point for that glory.
How so?
It happens when leaders fully embrace their Ephesians 4 role, equipping the saints and then releasing them courageously into their callings, their spheres of influence.
When the whole body works together.
Yes. When the whole body functions according to this apostolic blueprint, then increase happens. Disciples multiply. Churches multiply. And through that multiplication, the kingdom advances, pushing back darkness, revealing God's glory.
So bringing it all together, the core message isn't really about titles, is it?
No, not about titles or positions. It's about function. The entire body of Christ stepping into its destiny, its purpose.
And the article ends with this really powerful call to action, a rallying cry.
It does. The world is suffocating. The sky is lowering. But glory is rising.
And through an apostolic church that equips, sends, and multiplies, that glory will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea.
Arise.
The apostolic release for increase is here.
Wow.
Quite a call. Okay, so as we wrap up this deep dive, we've really explored a profound call for a fundamental shift, moving from church as maintenance to church as multiplication and mission, engaging the world with power and purpose.
Yeah.
Which leaves us with a really important question, doesn't it, for each of us listening? Considering this vision, this apostolic release for increase, what does it actually mean for your specific sphere of influence?
Your workplace, your neighborhood.
Your community.
Yeah.
What does it mean for you to arise, shine with that kind of transformative kingdom presence right where you are? How could that glory cover your corner of the earth? It's something powerful to think about. And remember, this deep dive was brought to you by Awaken Nations with Glenn Blakeney. To learn more about Glenn's work, find resources on embracing this apostolic vision, and see how you can get involved, definitely visit awakennations.org. And for even more in-depth content, like joining their monthly Zoom meetings, you can subscribe over at kingdomreformation.org. You can also invite Glenn to speak, either in person or online, through awakennations.org. We really hope this deep dive sparked some new insights for you. Until next time, keep exploring.
Hey everyone, Glenn Blakeney here. Are you passionate about revival and reformation? Do you want to deepen your understanding of fivefold ministry and how to advance the kingdom in every sphere of life, including the marketplace? Well, then join the Kingdom Reformation Leaders Community today. We offer a free subscription to get you started, as well as a monthly plan that provides valuable content and insights. For those seeking even more, our Leaders Plan includes all-inclusive access to a wealth of resources focused on church leadership, apostolic movements, prophetic ministry, and much more. You can engage in live sessions and discussions that explore how to effectively implement these principles in your life and community. With our monthly leaders training featuring esteemed kingdom leaders from around the globe, you'll be equipped to make a transformative impact. Don't miss this chance to grow in your calling and to contribute to the movement of revival and reformation, advancing the kingdom of God to cities and nations. Sign up for the Leaders Plan or any other subscription at kingdomreformation.org today.